Creation prophets, and I don't want people to, because there's a lot of information out there, and some of it's misinformation, and some of it is limited information. And so I want to talk about those things because we can't get caught up in what we see or what we hear, because God is greater. God has a plan that has not changed, and He's spoken it to us through the prophets. And when we step off of the word of the prophets and start reasoning in our own minds, that's where the waters get murky, and we begin to start reasoning in natural reasoning instead of seeking God and listening to Him. And this is a church that seeks Him daily. I know that y'all spend time in His presence and in His word, and that's what we want to encourage you with today, is that we haven't come off of anything that we've said over the last months. Nothing has changed. You'll hear out there right now, there are some of the prophets who are going so far as to apologize for the word that came through them from the Lord. And we know that the word of God is firm and it's settled. And when He speaks through His prophets, it's for our benefit. And I wanted to share something with you. You know, we all started this chronological study this year. And Jeremy and I were talking the other day because he was preparing for a lesson. And we're doing this chronological study of the Bible, the first chapters of Genesis and then going on to Job. And the Lord reminded me one morning when I was talking with Him about the things that we're facing right now in this time. And part of what we're facing is, do we step off of the Word of God? Do we back up and deny the prophetic word that has been spoken, or do we press in? And so I have a few things I really want to help clarify so that you have a direction for this year, because end of this month we'll be talking about the vision for this church. Every year we do that in January, Vision Sunday. And we've gotten some word, but we're also getting it clearer so that we can communicate it well, so that we know how we're running this year. We were all surprised by the word that came last year, but it did come to pass. And so we're working on that right now and listening for the Lord's guidance. But I wanted to share something with you, because you all that have been doing the chronological study were obviously reading in Job. And many of the things in Job are difficult to understand from our perspective on the other side of the cross. But James talks about the end of the book being that it proves the goodness of God and His faithfulness. And so I want to bring something out in the book of Job that the Lord highlighted to me the other day, and I had to go back to it because we had gone past this point. But this commentary in my Spirit-filled Bible talks about just what we're talking about this morning. This is from chapter 6 in Job. Job's first response, well, it's actually 6 and 7. Job's first response is a lengthy defense in which he justifies his laments by directing attention to the depth of his suffering. He expresses his disappointment at receiving this bitter, unwarranted attack by his friend, and his viewpoint that God is his persecutor. So he's clearly not seeing clearly, and it's because he's been stirred up by the words of his friends. Job's criticisms of God that appear in chapters 6 and 7, as well as in his other responses to his friends, can best be understood as a man's feeble attempts to make sense of a scenario for which he is missing an essential piece of information. And that's what's been happening in the last days, is that there are some pieces of information we need to hold on to, that there is something happening between God and Satan, that there are spiritual purposes overriding earthly circumstances. Because he is unaware of this dimension of the spiritual realm, his understanding is severely impaired. And so as we read the rest of the book, this is part of the perspective that Job has. He keeps vacillating between how good he knows God to be and standing on that fact and knowing the goodness of God. And he vacillates between that and accusing God of bringing all these things upon him. And he's not recognizing that there is a spiritual battle that is going on, and he is in the midst of it, okay? And so we are in that place right now, and the words of the prophets have declared things to us, and I've even heard some of the prophets who had accurate word over the last years now apologizing for the words that they gave us, instead of standing firm that, no, I heard this from the Lord, and this is what the Lord said. They're backing up, and they're giving it over to what is occurring right now, which is a lot of deception, and making apologies. When we hear from the Lord and we speak it clearly, there's no reason for excuse. The Lord said it, the Lord declared it, it will come to pass. And so these are the things that I wanted to share today. And one of the things that the Lord highlighted this, well, actually, it was a day or so ago, is that we're facing a time much like what was happening in the 40s. Well, actually, it began in the 30s when the Nazi movement came into power in Germany. And so I brought out Bonhoeffer's book because there are some things here that he said that are quite clear to us for our time. And I want to read this one passage to you, because Bonhoeffer was struggling much with the same things that I'm struggling with right now, is how much to present to people of what the Lord's been saying to me, because there's timing in everything. And he's been talking incessantly, and I mean day and night, but I can't deliver it all right now. And so I've been asking him, what is it you want me to say here to encourage people for the days ahead? And so he's brought it down to a few things. Let me read from Bonhoeffer's book. This isn't his book. This is not an autobiography, but it is a biography of his life. And Bonhoeffer was facing the same things. The believing church was not listening to the things he had to say. They were much like Job, in that they were reasoning in their own reasoning and in their theology, like his friends were doing, stating that your problem is because you're not in correct theology, or your problem is that you're full of sin, and all these things, okay? So Bonhoeffer was facing all these things because he was in the midst of an unbelieving, believing church, and many of them rejected his word. And the reason they rejected it was that it didn't fit their parameters. It did not fit their agendas. It did not fit the way they wanted their lives defined. So he gave this, while he was a pastor in England for a time, during the beginning of the Reich coming into power, and kept going back to Germany to encourage the church there, he gave a message to his congregation. I don't know if all of you know about Bonhoeffer, but he died a martyr. And he was also a patriot of Germany who stood against the Reich. And he was very clear about his stand. He was a young man. He died, I believe, at 40 or thereabouts. So he gave a message concerning, the message he gave was about the life of Jeremiah. Because Jeremiah was one of these prophets who had a word to speak that people were not receiving well. They received it so poorly that they began persecuting him. And he went through, if you've read the book of Jeremiah, you see what he's gone through. It's incredible what the man endured, but he spoke the word of God that was given to him. So in this time, Bonhoeffer, I'm going to read a few passages from his sermon to his church. And many of them were confused by it. Many of them were just taken aback. They didn't know where he was going with this, but it was because of the things stirring in his heart. This path of Jeremiah's will lead right down into the deepest situation of human powerlessness. The follower becomes a laughingstock, scorned and taken for a fool. But a fool who is extremely dangerous to people's peace and comfort, so that he or she must be beaten, locked up, tortured, if not put to death right away. That is exactly what became of this man, Jeremiah, because he could not get away from God. God was speaking to him, and he wasn't letting all the circumstances that were coming against him stop the word of God. But he went through terrible trials. And Jeremiah was just as much flesh and blood as we are. A human being like ourselves, he felt the pain of being continually humiliated and mocked, of the violence and brutality and others used against him. After one episode of agonizing torture that had lasted a whole night, he burst out in prayer. This is where he goes, just like Job. O Lord, you have enticed me, and I was enticed. You have overpowered me, and you have prevailed. So in the end, he said, I'll speak the word, no matter what comes of it. I'll speak the word. Jeremiah was upbraided as a disturber of the peace, an enemy of the people, just like all those throughout the ages until the present day, who have been possessed and seized by God, for whom God had become too strong. How gladly would he have shouted peace or Heil with the rest, but he couldn't. The triumphal procession of truth and justice, the triumphal procession of God and his scriptures through the world drags in the wake of the chariot of victory a train of prisoners in chains. May he at the last bind us to his triumphal carriage so that although in bonds, oppressed, we may participate in his victory. The Lord is doing things right now that aren't clear to us. That's what I wanted to bring out in Job, is that they may not be clear to us. We may not understand the fullness of them, and it may look like the prophetic word has not come to pass. But God is still on the throne, and God is still in operation in this world. It's his world. It doesn't belong to the enemy. He has usurped the power of it, but it does not belong to him. And God is still at work, and he is mighty on behalf of those who love him and know him. And we are going to stand strong in the word of God, and we are not going to cast aside the words of the prophets, because we're here for such a time as this. I have a psalm that I wanted to read, because you remember Genesis it's in Deuteronomy, Moses is faced with a rebellion. Moses and Aaron are faced with a rebellion. And one side of the rebellion is the religious side. They want authority that isn't given to them. And the other side is political. Moses was the one that was leading the people. Aaron was the one representing the people who were serving God. And so there was this rebellion that came about, and Korah was a leader in it. So we often read in the Psalms how the sons of Korah are still in existence, even though Dathan and Abiram, their entire families were destroyed with them as they stood outside the tent. But it says nothing like that about Korah. The reason being that those people did not stand with Korah. His wife and children, they did not agree with what Korah had done. And we read later that the children of Korah were given the blessing of being able to worship in David's temple, in David's place of worship when he brought the ark back to Jerusalem. So Korah, the sons of Korah, as we read, or the descendants of Korah, as some Bibles say it, are all about worship, trust in the Lord, putting our full trust in him. Before I read this psalm, which is the first one, it's 42, in the psalms of to the descendants of Korah, I want to read from 1 Corinthians 13, because this clarifies what I've been speaking about. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time comes of perfection, and this comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I now know is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. So let's not be childish in our assumptions about what is going on that we don't see clearly right now. Let's stand on the word of God that he has spoken and that he is still at work. And you remember, last year, all through the year, it seems like the Church of Christ laid hold of an anthem. And that anthem tells us, even when we don't see it, you're working. Even when we don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Our God is powerful and strong. And we've been praising him throughout this year of chaos and things that we don't understand. Let's stay in that place that we may not understand it all, but we know our God. He's at work here. So I want to read you this psalm because it shows us that they dealt with much the same things that we're facing today. Psalm 42. And I'm going to read the whole thing. Jeremy said I had time to just minister this morning. This is, for the choir director, a psalm of the descendants of Korah. As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? When we're being taunted for our faith, we can stand firm, so have others. My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of great celebration. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you, even from distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar. I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. But each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me. And through each night I sing his songs, praying to the God who gives me life. O God, my rock, I cry, why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones. They scoff, where is this God of yours? Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. I wanted to deliver this before worship. And as we worship today, I want us all to just remember how powerful our God is and how faithful he is. And there are a lot of things right now we're going to talk about that we haven't understood, but we can rest in the faithfulness of our God. I want you all to keep Adenye and Elizabeth in prayer. You all got the message yesterday, and just keep them in prayer, the family as well. Okay, they're walking through a difficult day here. And so as a church, we'll pray later, but right now I want you to just remember them, okay? But consider the goodness of your God, because what you saw going down Wednesday, you don't understand the fullness of it, but God is still at work.